So TM sang us a song about a rooster who came into the yard and made lots of changes when he arrived. And I would say offhand that that rooster must know who he truly is. And he seems to be making a difference in the lives of those he touches. And why does that happen? What is contagious about connection? Well, connection is contagious because there is that within all of us that knows that we're supposed to be connected. We may have been taught that we are not enough, that we're incomplete, that we're separate, that we're alone, but it isn't true. And there is that in our hearts that knows and feels that deep and abiding connection to Source. How that plays out in anybody's life is entirely up to them. We are completely a choice about what we think about ourselves and the world. And we have grown up, most of us, in a society being taught that we are at the effect of everything around us, that other things create the causes and we respond to those causes. But that isn't the real truth of our being. The real truth of our being is that our thought is creative. And the reason for that is that we think with the mind of God. Just as there is only one of us here, there is only one mind in which we all think and move and have our being. And this is the point to Ernest Holmes saying, what we are looking for, we are looking at and looking with. The title of the chapter that we're talking about today in the book Essential Ernest Holmes. Let's think about that quote. What we are looking for, we are looking at and looking with. We look for so much in our lives. We look for abundance. We look for love. We look for opportunities. We look for success. We look for clarity and intelligence and creativity and joy. We look out there for all of that. And while we're looking out there, we may not be finding much of it. And the reason for that is that if we are looking for it, we are usually looking for it from a place of lacking it, of knowing that it's not here. And when we know it's not here, we can't find it. It's impossible to find what you lack. It's not a match. What you find is what you are. And so if you look within yourself first for the divine, if you look for the clarity, the abundance, the wisdom, the beauty, the joy, the harmony, the peace, the love that God is inside, it's much easier then to see it and find it outside. I will share with you some quotes from Ernest Holmes and from some other teachers. The broader quote that this quote comes from, the title of this chapter, What We Are Looking For, We Are Looking At, and Looking With, comes from the Science of Mind textbook, where Ernest Holmes said, there are different mental depths and heights from which we may look out upon life. From whatever level we look, that which we see comes back to us by an invariable law of attraction. That which we look upon is real while we look at it. We arrive at a consciousness of unity only in such degree as we see that what we are looking for, we are looking with and looking at. Heaven is lost merely for the lack of a perception of harmony. Hell is the phantom abode of our morbid imaginations. Heaven and hell are states of consciousness. Somebody once said, do you believe in hell and religious science? And one of the teachers said, oh yeah, I know most of the people I know have lived in it, at least part of their lives. And we believe that we do create that hell by our focus of attention, and we can equally easily create heaven by our focus of attention, because the truth is heaven. The truth is heaven on earth. If we live the life we came here to live, connected with Source, plugged in to the supply, then we do have the opportunity to live lives of joy and peace and power and grace and love. So as we learn to look for what we want within ourselves, recognizing that we are looking with that divine understanding, and we are looking at God, everything we look at, we become open to receiving our good in our lives at a whole new level. Neville said, "Be still and know that you are that which you desire to be, and you will never have to search for it." Well, how many of us have been searching for what we think we want to be our whole lives? But when we relax and just be ourselves, we discover that we are that. We are that. We are loving. We are clear. We are powerful. We are graceful. We are beautiful in the wholeness of our being. That wholeness can be revealed by our willingness to recognize who we truly are. It's such a powerful experience to know our wholeness. Ernest also said in The Science of Mind, "An evolved soul is always a worshiper of God. The evolved soul worships God in everything, for God is in everything. God not only is in everything, but is more than everything it is in. Ye are the light of the world." That is God in us. All that we are is God, yet God is more than all that we are. The nearer consciousness comes to this truth, the more cosmic sweep it has, the more power it has. So when we begin to know the truth of who we are and live from that knowing, we have more power in our lives. Now, I grew up being afraid of power because I thought power was about people having control over other people. That power over other people was what power was about. And I didn't like other people having power over me, so I was afraid of power. But I learned as I studied that there is also power as myself, power as the divine on the planet, power as love in expression. And we can step into the power of our love, the power of our beingness. And it doesn't relate to anybody out there or anything out there. It relates to us connecting with the truth of ourselves, plugging into that source energy that is always there, and living with intuitive guidance and impulses that come from Source. So we are moving into a deeper understanding all the time as we study this information, as we allow it to kind of sink in and massage the beliefs that we've had in the past. And a lot of times we feel like we're not enough. At least I've had that experience in my life. I've been looking for completion outside of myself by being successful in my career or by having a loving relationship or by doing something that was meaningful. I was trying to complete myself, thinking I was not whole to begin with. But that is a sorry state of living, to believe in my incompleteness and try to fill the void from the outside. Because there is no void. There is only wholeness. Well, at one point, Ernest Holmes changed my life. One of the many times reading something by Ernest changed my life was on page 16 of Anatomy of Healing Prayer, when he said, "There is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated. There is only that which is already whole to be revealed." So I don't have to fix something about me that's broken. I can recognize the wholeness and allow that wholeness to express itself more and more fully in my life. So it comes down to moving from facing and looking and squarely at what I don't want and trying to fix it, to moving to thinking about what I do want and recognizing that in many ways it's already here and waiting to be more fully revealed in my life. Holmes said in The Living the Science of Mind, and I have a copy of this book that was given to the study group, so if anybody would like to borrow it, it's here as a gift to the study group. He said in this book, "We know that we are the offspring of life, the manifestation of light. We know that all the presence and all the power and all the love and all the wisdom and all the peace and joy and all the friendship and togetherness exist in the totality which we are, in which we embrace each other in love, in joy, and in peace. And it is our desire there shall be unfolded to us, all of us, during this brief interval of our own contemplation, a power so dynamic, a beauty so terrific, a peace so deep and a joy so flowing that heaven and earth shall meet and make one vast music as before." I find that thrilling. I don't know if it did anything for you, but it gives me goosebumps when I read it because it is so true that we want this unfolding. We want to see this love manifesting in our lives. But it has to start with us. It doesn't start out there and we grab what's out there and bring it in. It starts in here. And we begin to share and radiate that light that we are. And some of you know I'm writing a book that's a conversation between me and the divine, which I call the beloved. And I have been writing recently about two ideas. One, that I break for love, B-R-A-K-E. I stop when I see an opportunity to love, and I allow that love to flow. It's manifesting in odd ways. I was at the Shoppers Food Warehouse the other night returning a bottle of furniture polish that I had bought the wrong kind, and I walked in there at 9:30 at night, and it was very quiet, and this lovely lady helped me and was very gracious about taking back the bottle, and I bought the other groceries, and she said, "I'll just hold it here. Just bring me your groceries when you get them." And I brought the groceries. She deducted the thing, and she wished me a wonderful evening. And I said, "I just love shopping here." And I thought, that is so silly to say. And yet, I felt that so strongly in that moment. Her desire to give me service was really present. And she was very friendly and very nice and very at ease with it. And she allowed me to feel the love that is the truth of my being. And I was expressing it more vociferously than I normally would do in a public situation. But it bursts out when we take a break for love. It's okay to take a break for love. And I had been thinking about that idea, but then I watched The Bachelor on TV, and I recognized how many people break for love, B-R-E-A-K. And I started thinking about that experience of falling in love and feeling broken from it. And I wanted to explore that. So I asked the beloved about that. I said, you know, what is this about breaking for love, B-R-E-A-K instead of B-R-A-K-E? And they said, "You've been taught that the source of the love is outside yourself, residing in another person. There's even mythic stories that say you're only half until you meet the other half of yourself and become whole together. So you feel less than whole, less than enough, walking around feeling incomplete hurts because it separates you from alignment with God. God always knows your wholeness. When you look for wholeness outside yourself, you feel needy and yearning. You perceive the absence of love when you yearn for love in another person. And that's absurd from our perspective because there is only love. The very fabric of the universe is love. You are made of love. You are love in form. You and everyone and everything else are love in essence. There is nowhere love is not. Get the picture?" And I laughed because they laid it on pretty thick. I said, "Yeah, I get it already. Go on." And they said, "What you've been trained to think that love is only that love is only out there in some person you have to find." And broaden this in your mind because it could be that goal or that career or that experience that you're looking for. You are separated from the truth of all your being when you think that it's out there. You cut yourself off from the omnipresent love that you have within you. You close your heart to divine love when you think you don't have love, even though love is all there is. They went on to say, you go out in the world looking for the one person who will complete you based on serious information, misinformation. Suddenly you find someone who appeals to you and you say, ah, this must be the one. You allow love to flow to that one. All the love that you've been withholding and discounting bursts forth into the world and you feel fabulous. At last, you are complete. And then time passes. And you notice that the other person isn't completing you as perfectly as you expected. They don't do what you need them to do so you can be happy. They refocus their attention that they were pouring on you somewhere else. Sometimes they even have the nerve to die or go away. You feel betrayed by love. Your heart breaks. You break for love. I said, yeah, that sums it up. People play that drama over and over. And B said, beloved B is what I call him, the problem is you aren't giving your love, our love, to that other person. You are giving yourself. In your sense of incompletion, you come together as two halves of a whole and see the relationship as your whole self. Then when the other person disappoints or leaves, you lose yourself. To look for the source of love outside of you is to lose yourself. That's why it hurts so much. Again, hurting means that you're seeing what's happening differently than God sees it. We knew you were whole to begin with. We know there is an infinite abundance of love. Suddenly, when your relationship breaks up and you feel all that warm, wonderful love you experienced with that person has left you forever, you get very dramatic about it. Lots of songs get written. Other kinds of songs than TM sings.
He sings a lot of those too.
Yeah.
Country songs.
Yeah, country songs. But it's not so funny when we're experiencing it. And they said, we know, but we want to help you to see it from a clearer, more loving perspective. Can you see how absurd it is to think that this other person is the only source of love and wholeness in your life? I said, well, yeah, when you put it that way, please give me a different way to see it. And they said, you have been living it. Come into a loving relationship with God. Let God love you and be here for you. Share your life. Let God show you your wholeness. Remember that you are love and allow the love that you are to flow expansively. Feel your wholeness. Value yourself. Be yourself. Stand in the power of yourself. Shine your light. Explore your creativity. Exercise your intelligence and your energy. And those words that were just used in that paragraph, wholeness, love, light, power, creativity, intelligence, and energy, those are words that we use a lot in spiritual mind treatment. They are words that describe what science of mind calls the qualities of God. B calls them the timeless eternal nouns, which is a play on words on timeless eternal now. It's bringing that timeless eternal now into our awareness of ourselves. As we use those words about ourselves, it allows us to expand our awareness into the timeless and eternal aspect of who we are. For we are not just separately human, we are connected to the divine. That wholeness, that love, that light, that peace, that power is always here. And we can always access it, but we need an entry point. And so B is telling me that these timeless eternal nouns are an entry point. We can play with these high-frequency words to create high-frequency ideas. And when we get caught up in doubts or fears, it's not because those doubts or fears are true. It's because we have a pattern of thought that takes us into disconnection from Source. And the thoughts that we think when we are unplugged from source sound like doubt and fear and anger and resentment and disconnection. That's a symptom of the disconnection. It's not evidence about our lives. And so when we're having those doubts, when we're having those fears, we don't have to solve the problem. We need to reconnect. And when we reconnect, we have the vibration of solution rather than the vibration of problem. And we're able to see the things we thought were broken are really just opportunities for something new in our lives. So that reconnection becomes the goal rather than taking care of all that stuff in the outside world. We do take care of the stuff in the outside world, but we do it from an inspired place rather than a frightened or an angry place. And it makes a huge difference in the quality of the ideas that come to us in that moment, whether we're relaxed and receptive to our intuition and the good that is ours, or if we're pushing away the good because we're fearful, angry, resentful, yearning, longing. So how do we reconnect? What can we do to reconnect? That really is the issue here. It's the answer to everything. How do we reconnect? And in the course of that conversation, the Beloved gave me the answer, the timeless eternal nouns. And so I made up a worksheet, and you all have it on the table in front of you. And they combined the timeless eternal nouns with another process that I use called I want, I'm willing, I'm eager, I love. When you start, there's 20 of these, so if we can pass it down, somebody doesn't have one. Does anybody else not have one? Okay. When we are disconnected, we are focused on what we don't want in our lives. And so what we don't want can show us what we do want. When we don't want to feel bad, we want to feel good. When we don't want poverty, we want wealth or comfort. When we don't feel loved, we want to be loved. So it's really easy to gain access to what we do want by looking at the opposite of what we don't want. And as we look at what we want instead of what we don't want, it opens the door to getting more of what we want. And what B showed me in this conversation is that you can plug in these words into the I want, I'm willing, I'm eager, I love, and actually develop a whole bunch of high-frequency thoughts about ourselves very rapidly. So let's go through it quickly because we're almost done here, but we're going to use this exercise in the second half to play with more fully. So you take the words that are listed up at the top. These are all high-frequency words that tend to make most people feel good. I want to experience peace. I want to experience joy. I want to radiate love. And one side of the paper has a lot of suggestions. The other side has a blank area. So the first side is the first one to do that has a lot of suggestions. The other side has space for you to explore on your own later. So I'm reading from the side that has a lot more words on it. And I'm just filling in words from the top. I want to radiate energy. I want to know my well-being. I want to see my abundance. I want to feel my freedom. And I want is a wonderful turning point from I don't want to I want. Then I'm willing is one step higher in frequency. I'm willing to experience joy. I'm willing to radiate love. I'm willing to know my power. I'm willing to see my beauty. I'm willing to feel my harmony. And that takes you up another notch. And then if you move into eagerness, I'm eager to experience clarity. I'm eager to radiate power. I'm eager to know my wholeness. I'm eager to see my creativity. I'm eager to feel my well-being. It takes you up even again. And finally, if you move into love, then it takes you to the highest level of appreciation of yourself. I love to experience clarity. I love to radiate grace. I love to know my abundance. I love to see my freedom. I love to feel my joy. Can you feel that there's a progression there that kind of takes you into the wholeness of who you are at another level? It moves you from a lower vibration to a higher vibration very specifically. And then they showed me that you can combine them. So you can pick any two of them on the right side and say, I want to shine the light of my wholeness. I want to delight in the energy of my oneness. I want to thrill to the abundance of my joy. I want to explore the intelligence of my love. I want to feel, and then you can do the I want, I'm willing, I'm eager, I love with two of them. So you can actually experiment with what words feel good to you, what words feel empowering, what words feel exciting. And you can build a connection to Source that is very similar to the process we teach about spiritual mind treatment. And Duane's going to talk about spiritual mind treatment this afternoon based on his project from the class that he took last year. And we have this opportunity every day to build our consciousness in some way. And we can build the consciousness through spiritual mind treatment and affirmative prayer. We can build the consciousness through kinds of affirmations like this worksheet. And we can contemplate the divine in ourselves. And then once we get used to feeling that wholeness within ourselves, we can turn that light of love out into the world. And we can see that wholeness, that light, that beauty, that power in other people and other places and other situations as well as in ourselves. We can imagine the wholeness that we are feeling revealed within us, revealed within someone else in that moment. And at that point, you can begin to say, I want to see her radiate her wholeness. I want to imagine the love in this person. And you can use these same words to articulate the well-being of that other person and imagine them whole, imagine them healthy, imagine them free, imagine them housed, imagine them full of all of the good that is present within them that maybe in this moment they don't have access to. But we have access to it. And what we have access to, we automatically radiate out into the world. Who we are is contagious. It may be contagious as a negative. It may be the contagion of viruses and fears and resentments. Or it may be the contagiousness of laughter and joy and harmony and wonder. And I choose to radiate as much light as possible. And everybody makes that choice every moment of every day. We make it unconsciously based on the patterns that we're used to living, or we begin to make it more and more consciously. So coming into conscious awareness of who we truly are makes all the difference as to what we radiate in the world, as what people catch from us, and whether or not we're a rooster who's uplifting everyone, or, you know, we're just going around doing our thing. You know, we can make the thing that we do beautiful and take the truth of who we are into the world rather than looking for it out there. And that's what I wanted to say today.